The art of communication is just that. It's an art, right? It's an art, whether we're always communicating. God is communicating with us, and we are communicating with God. We have the written word of God. We have the living word of God. God is a communicating God. And so if we're created in his image, right, we are communicating people. And many times things fall apart when there's not communication, when the communication is not flowing the way that it needs to be flowing. And but there's different ways that we communicate, right? There's communication between maybe a husband and wife. And there's communication between parents and children. And then there's communication like I'm doing now, this more of a public communication. They call it maybe public speaking. And there's some pieces of public communication that the experts say can actually make it better, because not only speaking it but receiving it, right? And so the first slide up is kind of the public speaking 101 to start in the journey. You can have some, push the button please, you can have some of these hints to be able to speak publicly or to communicate more effective publicly, right? And these are not mine. These have been for years. Maybe you would start with a quote, right? And some people call this the hook, if you will, to get people drawn in, to get everybody kind of looking forward to what's going to happen. So you start off with a quote. See, you wouldn't do that with communication with your wife. I'm not going to quote Abraham Lincoln and then tell Cheryl what I want for supper. It's just not going to, that's not what I do, right? It's just different communication. You know, a reference to a well-known person is you can communicate or start hook or open public speaking up with that type of start, if you will. Reference to someone, some historical event. Maybe you can tell a funny story. And maybe you can start on a serious note. And usually what you want to do is not just tell a random funny story. Usually, you know, there's something about the story. Yeah, I've done that many times. And I find out when I read stuff like this, hey, maybe I have learned something. You know, maybe I can do that. And the stories of my life make sense, help me make sense of the Word of God. And you can start on a serious note. You can recall your own story. You can share it in an anecdote, right? Or a short story or an incident or event. And if I wanted to, we were headed up 22, and I would share a story about there was a really nice Jeep, and we're driving a Jeep, and a really nice Jeep, but the really nice Jeep was parked alongside the road, and black smoke was rolling off and under the hood, and everybody was a good distance away. And I was like, man, I feel bad for that Jeep, because the Jeep is going to, that's not going to finish well right there. You know, I could share a story of an event like that to when I speak publicly. And I could ask the audience to imagine something. I could use a statistical facts or statistical figures if I want to kind of start the ball rolling here. So this morning, I want to combine 2, 3, 5, and 9. So that's where I'm going. So if it sounds confusing to you, I'm a 2, 3, 5, 9er this morning. I couldn't really make a decision which one I fit in this morning. So I said, how about a 2, 3, 5, 9er this morning? And we'll just kind of meld it all into one, and we'll just call it number 10, New Life Way of Getting Into the Message. So here we go. Here's the hook, if you will. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the miracle worker, the Savior, the Lamb of God, and the bread of life. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the I Am, the door for the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the hope for a world in despair. Jesus is the justifier. You know what? Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God. Jesus is the grace of God. Jesus is the one who sets you free. Jesus is the head over all things. Jesus is the one who meets all the needs. He is the fullness of God, the fuel for your walk, and he is the coming King. And he is the giver of strength, and he is the good news, and he is the great God and Savior. He is the healer. He is the rescuer from trials. He is the righteous one, and he is the revealer of lies. And he is impartial, and he is superior, and he is sufficient, and he is our motivation, he is our keeper, and he always wins. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He always was, always is, and always will be. He is unmovable, unchangeable, and undefeatable. And he is the giver of the indestructible life. He brings peace, power, and purpose. The greatest force cannot defeat him. The human mind cannot fully grasp him. The world cannot live without him. He is the light, the love, the longevity, and Lord. He is goodness and gentleness and God. He is holy and righteous. He is mighty, powerful, and he is pure. He lifts the fallen, and he redeems the sinner, and he strengthens the weak, and he leads the lost, and he calms the anxious, and he steadies the stumbling. And he heals the hurting, he mends the broken, he feeds the hungry, he revives the suffocating, and he rules the world. And Ephesians 1 and 13 says this, and you also were included in Christ when you believed. Not only is he that, you are now standing in him. As a child of the Most High God, you are standing in Jesus this morning. Whatever else is going on in your life, whatever else our culture is doing, whatever else our world is doing, I am in Christ this morning. I was included in him. I stand in him this morning. You and I are in the one who lifts. You and I are in the one who redeems and who strengthens and who leads and who calms and who steadies. You are in the one who heals this morning. You are in the one who mends this morning. You are in the one who feeds this morning. You are the one in the one who revives this morning. You are in the one who rules this morning. You are in the dot, dot, dot of everything that God has for you. And you're standing in him this morning. And don't let this world tell you anything different. You are in Christ. The old hymn goes like this. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groanings, and I heard of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Why? Because there's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me even before I knew him, ere I knew him. And all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. That was written 84 years ago by a 53-year-old guy that just had a stroke. And we've been singing that hymn in the church in the United States for 84 years. And I wonder if we're just singing about the victory or if we're living in the victory. Because I'm tired of singing about something I'm not experiencing. Either shut up or experience the victory. Are we going to proclaim it and live in it? Are we going to live in the victory? You are in Christ. You are included in him. Nothing you have done, because God loved you, because God decided, because God drew you, because God spoke your name, because God wanted you in his family, because God signed the adoption papers. Now you are in Christ, and Christ is in victory. And you stand not only in Christ, you stand in victory. Because there's victory in Jesus. Am I making sense this morning? And you are in Jesus. There is victory in Jesus, and you are in Jesus. Victory means this: success in overcoming a difficult situation or an obstacle. I like that. It's success in. It's not striving in. It's not just trying to muscle your way through. It's success in overcoming. There is victory in Jesus, and you are in Jesus. That means there's victory in you, and we can have success in overcoming the struggle of life, whatever that is in your life. You can have victory, and you will have victory. How about it, Beth?
Yes.
Because I talked to Beth this, and she's had a rough week, a rough couple of weeks. Her platelets were going down and down and down. Her platelets were bottoming out. They were sticking her with needles, and they couldn't get any blood to even test it. And the doctor says, you need to go, you need to go, you need to go. And I watched my wife pray for her, and I watched her struggle, and I watched. I said, give me that phone. No, if you got a white towel in your hand, girl, you throw it away because you're not giving in, because you're not surrendering, because you stand in victory. And you will fight, and you will fight, and you will fight. And after a few more sticks and some time in the ER, we can end up finding out that her platelets are way more than what they are for normal. I'm telling you, Jesus is victory. I watch it over and over and over. There is victory in Jesus. I don't know what you're up against today, but you've got to know you're in Christ, and there you are in victory. And he wants to bring you the ability to succeed in overcoming. Will you let him give you what needs to be to succeed in overcoming? You're already in him. He's going to pour into you success. He wants you to win. I'm asking myself, and I'm asking you this morning, will you let him move you to the winning circle and the things that he wants to bring into your life? And in Exodus 13, 18, it says this, so God led the people around by the desert toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up from Egypt. They went up from captivity. They went up from slavery. God had freed them. They went up armed for battle. And they went and they talked for a long time, and they wondered if they could whittle out some tools, and they could whittle out some weaponry, and they could whittle out this, and they could maybe they can make their way in life. Maybe they just need to be satisfied with a stick. We don't really need a sword. But they went out, and God said, you went out, I brought you out, and now you are armed for battle. It continues, and Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, the low platelets you see today, you ain't going to see them tomorrow. That's what he's saying. The Egyptians that you see today, you're not going to, you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. And I've always wrestled with the very next verse. You only need to be still. But look at verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Take a step. Step with me. Walk. Walk. It's time to walk out your victory. You're in me. You cried out to me. You spent time with me. Now it's time to walk. Get on your shoes. Start walking in victory because I armed you for battle. Because I brought you out of captivity. Because I saved you. Because I call you my daughter and my son. And there will be battles. There will be battles that God will win and you will only watch. There really will. And then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the waters so that the Israelites can go through on dry ground. Get it done, Moses. You stretch out your hand. And I'm not saying, well, you do your part, and God will show up and do his part. God does all the parts. He just invites us in on some of them. You can't be good enough because you're already redeemed. You're already in Christ. And there will be battles. There will be battles that God will win and you will only watch. And then there will be battles that God will empower you to engage in. And I added this morning, and win. Because God's not going to give you engagement in any battle that he expects you to finish halfway through the deck. How many flags do you see halfway up Mount Everest? Woo! I made it halfway. Boom. That's not God. He said, I'm going to empower you. Because there's victory in Jesus and because you stand in Jesus. and I'm going to empower you. There's going to be battles that you're never going to have lift a finger in. And then there's going to be battles where you're going to receive and you're going to fight and you're going to win because you're in Christ and you're in victory. And he wants you to walk in victory. He wants us to be victorious in this life. A mediocre life is not in the will of God for your life or my life. Are you with me this morning? Mediocre is not where God wants us. He doesn't want us just to run among the pack. You are the light of the world. You are part of the royal priesthood. You are standing in victory in Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. He wants you to have victory. He wants you to move ahead and watch what he does and engage when he wants you to engage. In 2 Samuel 22, it says this, and David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and the hand of Saul. Delivered simply means gave victory over. He gave victory over every one of David's enemies. David stood free from every enemy. David stood on the top of the mountain. And we can study David's life and we see that he went and he ebbed and flowed some. But at this moment, he is standing in victory. He's experiencing what he has already, let me correct myself. He's in victory. Now he's experiencing where he really is. And he's standing in that victory because God wants him to be victorious. And listen, I am not preaching the get rich schemes of the gospel. I'm not doing that. But I'm telling us right now, God wants you to stand in victory or he wouldn't have put you in Christ. You can't put somebody in everything that Jesus is and not want them to have victory. He wants you and I to have victory. Will we let him move us there? David said, I sang this song to the Lord when he had freed me from all of my enemies. And in verse 29 of that same chapter says this, You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. Do you see what God's doing? He's showing up right in the middle of his darkness. And before we need to go ahead, God says, before we need to take a step, pink, let me turn on the lights. Because you're done walking in darkness. Because I'm going to give you victory. And the first thing you're going to need to know is I turn on the lights. We're not going to be groping around here in the darkness. I'm going to take your darkness and I'm going to turn a light on it. And it's going to be lit. And then you and I are going to navigate out of this because I have victory in store for you. But we're going to start in your captivity. We're going to start in your trial. We're going to start in your darkness. And I'm going to turn on the light. And so here we go. And I would say, saddle up, baby, because here we go. The lights are on. And then he says this in the very next verse. Look what he says. Look what he says. He's standing in the darkness. And God has taken his darkness and he's turned on the light. And look what the very next verse is. With your help, I can advance against the troop. Do you see the difference now? Do you see the difference of what's happening in David's life? Ping, the lights are on. Woo! Man, what can stop me? No weapon formed against me can prosper. God is for me. Who can be against me? I can advance against the troop. I can advance against that's holding me to the ground. I can advance against that enemy that's trying to pin me into the corner. Because God's turned on the lights. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And David said, I'm telling you what, I can advance now. I can take a step now. I can move forward now. I'm coming out of this junk in my life. I'm coming out of this depression. I'm coming out of this waywardness. I'm coming out of this sin in my life because the lights have been turned on. I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. And I always love that verse because God says, you know what? Some walls I'm going to crash down and you're going to walk the path anyway, and some walls I'm going to leave there because I want you to climb over them. Because I want you to turn around at times and say, whoa, now wait a minute, I got over that wall. Now, wall, I'm coming after you. And whether God removes it or not, I'm going over you. So he may not remove the walls in your life, but hang on. He's going to give you the power to climb over the walls. And some of you need to climb over the walls. And some of us need to climb over the walls. The walls of grief and the walls of disappointment and the walls of anger and the walls of greed and the walls of junk in your life. It's victory that he's got you in store for. He saved you to give you victory. As for God, the very next verse says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him. You know what he's starting to do? He's starting to get the sense that I can do this. And all of a sudden, God's equipping him and showing him what the victory is already in store for him. You know what that shield is? The scaly hide of a crocodile. That's what the word means. Let me put some crocodile skin on you. You know what? One thing is sure, you don't need crocodile skin if God's not going to run you through the fire. And sometimes it's the fire that you're going to run through. Sometimes it's the wall. Sometimes he's not going to just remove things, but he's going to cover you with a shield. He's going to cover you with some crocodile hide. He said, you watch. I'm scared to go through it. You watch what this crocodile hide will do. You watch. I'm not going to remove that fire. I'm gonna cover you with something that fire can't impact. I'm gonna Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego you right now. And that fire is not gonna touch you. As a matter of fact, it's not even gonna make you smell like fire. The way of the Lord is his way is perfect. It's complete. That's what the word perfect means. It's complete. He's got a plan for all the way through the end. Don't bail on God. Listen, we have a tendency to bail on God. All of a sudden, things start to feel a little better, and we think we can go ahead without God. Do not bail on God. His way, every way, all his way is complete. We need all his way, not just half his way, not just to relieve some pain in our life, but to have victory. Relieving pain doesn't mean victory. And he says, don't bail halfway through. My way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He's never going to lead you astray. He's never going to lead you where you can't go. It's flawless. It's complete. And he's going to cover you with a crocodile hide. And you're going to watch God do things that you didn't think you could do. Can you imagine sitting down in a life group with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the next day? I heard somebody on May 4th, right? We always say, May the 4th be with you. I heard that's a statement in history. Somebody told me that. Maybe somebody knew it. That really, that's the church would speak into your life. May the 4th, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, may the 4th be with you. That was their blessing. May Jesus be with you in the fire. And may he cover you with crocodile hide. Look at what it says in 32. For who is God? El? Who is El? Who is the mighty? Who is the powerful? Who is the strong? Who is the great? Who is the impressive one? Who is the mighty one besides Yahweh, besides the Lord? Who is that? Who is stronger than Yahweh? Please raise your hand now. No one's raising their hand. So he says, who is God besides the Lord? And who is our rock, is the rock, except our God? That's good stuff. Who is my rock? Who am I standing on? You're standing on Christ, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who is the beginning and the end, who always wins, who rules the world. And who is God? Besides the Lord, there is none. And I'm standing on the rock, who is Christ. Who is the rock except our God? Look what it says in 33. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way complete. We read, that is testimony, testimony, testimony right there. He said, I know that God arms me with strength. Listen, I got to tell you again, there's going to be battles that God's going to win, and you're only going to see him fight those battles, and you're going to be from a distance, and God's going to win those battles. I had testimony from someone this week that said, God won a battle. You spoke that into my life, and God won a battle. I didn't even know that it was won until several weeks later. And I realized that that moment that had been already won, I didn't even have to do what I thought I was going to have to do. The battle was already won. God did that without that person's involvement. And then there's times when he's going to arm you with strength. He's going to cover you with crocodile hide. And he's going to turn your darkness into light. And he's going to walk you through that fire. He's going to walk you through that trial. He's going to walk you through that you need victory over. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way complete, because God has nothing else in store for you other than the perfect way. Look what it says in 34. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. You're standing on places you didn't even know you could stand on. I was tethered to the ground for so long, and all of a sudden God showed up in my darkness, and he's moved me, and he's armed me for battle. And now I'm standing on a new height I didn't even know I could stand on. He's moved me up. He's given me vision, not just sight. He wants you to stand on a new height. He wants you to have victory. He wants to move you up a step. He loves you, and he knows where you're at, and he wants you to take one more step up. Because that's victory. Because that's what he has in store for you and me. You are in Christ. You are in victory. And God says, let me make your feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on new heights. He trains my hands for battle. To be honest, sometimes I'm thinking, God, can't you just send some lightning bolts and just zap it? He says, yeah, I can. As a matter of fact, I can. But what I can do more powerfully in this moment is to train your hands for battle. Because I'm going to send you in someone else's valley, and your hands are going to need to know what it means to do battle. I'm going to train your hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. And we can't appreciate that so much today. But I'm telling you what, he felt stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. His arms were more, he had the ability to do more and more and more. More than he could ever imagine. More than he could ever even think possible. More because God was doing something. More because God had victory in store. More because he is in Christ. More because this world does not have the right to tether you to the ground. More because God wants you to take a step up with him. He gives, 36 says, you give me your shield of victory. You stoop down and make me great. I love this passage. I love that verse. And many of you may know I love this passage of Scripture. And I read through this passage of Scripture on a regular basis. I'm telling you, in 20 years, I no doubt have read this Scripture thousands of times. Because I need to look at the guy in the mirror and said, did you hear what it said in 2 Samuel 22? Did you hear what it said? That God's going to strengthen you, that you are in victory, that he's going to make your way perfect. Don't you know he wants you to stand on new heights? Don't you know that there's victory in store for you? Stop whining and complaining, guy in the mirror. You give me your crocodile hide. And I always love it because you give me your shield of victory, not to see if you can do victory, not to see if you can experience victory. It already has victory in it. And he gives it to you and to me. Why? Because there's victory in Jesus. And you are in Jesus. If you're in the middle of a trial, and you've been in the middle of a trial, and you've been in the middle of a confusing situation for years and years and years, hang on and don't bail now. Because just because it took multiple years, Cheryl prayed for me, and so many of you know this, I was resistant to the gospel. I was resistant to where Cheryl wanted to go spiritually. My girls were led to the Lord by my wife and other people. They come to Christ. Dad was the last one to have his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Cheryl was on her knees for 10 years, over and over. And the Fesses were on their knees for 10 years, over and over and over and over. And they wouldn't give up, and they wouldn't give up. And I am so thankful they didn't bail halfway through the prayer time. So I don't know if you're 5 years deep or you're 10 years deep or you're 5 minutes deep. Don't bail. God's way is perfect. God's bringing you through. God's bringing you through, bringing you through. Husbands, hang on. Wives, hang on. Grandmoms, hang on. Grandfathers, hang on. Because God's doing a work right now in your children's life. Because God's doing a work in your spouse's life right now. Don't bail at the bottom. There is victory in Jesus, and you are in Jesus. And he gives you his shield of victory. He stoops down, and he will make you great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. You know, one of the things we used to do in the barn is you get on the top beam of the barn, and if you wasn't raised on a farm, you don't know the risk of the top beam. The top beam. You know, that's what you have to how you have to say it. The top beam. Because that's up there, and it's like 8 inches wide. You know you can walk along this and not spend more than 8 inches wide, and I can walk across this platform. I'm telling you what, you get 30 feet in the air with only 8 inches, and it seems to be pretty narrow. And God says, you're going to walk, and you're going to tightrope walk, but I'm going to widen that path out. You're going to think it's an 8-inch beam, and I'm going to make it a 12-inch beam. I'm going to make it a 15-inch beam, because I'm not going to take you off of that beam. You're going to walk through that beam, but I'm going to broaden the path that you're on. Just because the path is risky doesn't mean it's the wrong path. It's just God will broaden the path for you to walk on. Look at 38 through 41. I love this. This is back and forth. I pursued my enemies and crushed them. I did not turn back until they were destroyed. I crushed them completely, and they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. Oh, no, wait a minute. You armed me with strength. I strength for battle. Oh, no, you made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their back in flight, and I destroyed my foes. Back and forth, back and forth. Was it me or was it God? Was it me or was it God? Was it me or was it God? The answer is yes. It is you and God in these battles that we're talking about. Again, let me say for the 15th time maybe, there are battles that God will fight and you will never have to lift a finger. And then there's battles where he's going to equip you, and you're going to have a verse 38 through 41, an I and a you, and an I and a you, and an I and a you. But the reality is the enemy was destroyed. Why? Because there's victory in Jesus. And you are in Jesus. Wow.
is the miracle worker. He is the Savior. He is the Lamb of God. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world, and He is the great I Am. And He is the door for the sheep, and He is the good shepherd, and He is the resurrection. And you are in Him. And I speak the name of Jesus over you. Again, I speak healing into your eye. I speak strength and courage into you. I speak the name of Jesus over you. I speak the name of Jesus over you. I speak victory over what you're battling right now. Internal and external battles. I speak the name of Jesus. Into you. How about a new life? Stop playing the victim. Start living with a victor. That's what I need to do. And the more I go, and the more soul searching I do, and the more soul care that I step into, the more I realize I need to be freed from a lot of junk that's inside of me. And that junk is just meant to rot my soul, not give me victory. Sometimes we look really good on the outside, or really spoiled on the inside. Let me pray. As I close in prayer, I'm just going to have, if you need victory, and you know this morning, and I'm saying probably all of us do, but I know this morning that God's speaking to you, and it's you. You need victory. I'm not going to ask you to do anything other than stand right where you're at. And everybody will stand here in a minute. But if you need victory and you know what it is, I want you to stand right now, right where you're at. Father, these children of yours, us, we need victory. And Father, we have identified that it's us, God. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of victory. It's not my brother nor my sister right now, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of victory. So these ones that are standing before you, God, I pray that you'd flood them with victory. You'd flood them with training. You'd flood them with a crocodile hide. That you would give them the shield of victory. And even this day, they would feel. I'm going to ask if they're right-handed, that their right arm will feel heavier today. If they're left-handed, I ask that their left hand would feel heavier today. I ask that shield, they would be able to physically feel the shield of victory on them today. If the rest of us would stand now. And God, we have come here today, and we have dined at your table, God. We have worshiped you. We have proclaimed it. Father, we have heard the testimony of how you've healed. We've sought you for more healing. We have realized that we are in Christ. So, Father, here we are. We stand with our arms wide open. were gracefully broken. Father, thank you once again for the day. Thank you for this truth. Thank you that I can know it. And I pray, God, that we only just don't know it, but we experience it today. I pray that we experience it today and we would see it clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.